Hey, salon owners and solo artists, are you interested in learning how to build a solid hair extension business? One that fills your book with your dream client, fills your bank account, and fills your soul? If marketing isn't your strength and you need help refining your business strategy, be sure to check out the link in the show notes to learn about upcoming workshops all about doubling your extension business and skills through marketing and techniques. Can't wait to see you there. Hey friends, you're listening to the Beauty Business Game Changer Podcast, a podcast for beauty industry providers and business owners that are wanting to level up their game to create a profitable career and rewarding lifestyle. I'm Jennifer Alvarez, salon owner, educator, serving 20 years as a licensed cosmetologist, and I'm here to make an impact in your life and career. As creative entrepreneurs, we need education that empowers us and raises the industry standards. My mission is to give sound business advice and share inspiring stories that help you reach your goals and to dream bigger. Welcome to your Beauty Business Game Changer. Welcome back to the Beauty Business Game Changer Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Alvarez. We are at the tail end of 2023, and it's always when I start thinking about how am I wanting to level up, finish out strong this year, and my wheels are turning in the fourth quarter of what I want to do differently in 2024. Like, what things can I add to my year? What things do I need to take away, whether it's habits or different things that I want to do or change in my life? And the goal is progress of improvement, right? Like, it's not perfection, it's progress. And it's always about learning and growing to be a better version of ourselves. And I hope that you feel this way as well, because I know that when it comes to perfection, and we definitely live in an era where we think we see perfection all over social media, and it really can stress us out of thinking, I'm not good enough, or I haven't made it yet, when we really just need to focus on our own lane of where we are at. You know, as a salon owner, educator, leader, I have a strong focus on what I can do to be the best example for my team and to pave the way for a successful future in the beauty industry and to offer support in life in general. Not that I have everything figured out, but if I have gone before someone else, I really feel that it is my duty to pay it forward. What can I do to contribute to society, to the economy, to make the world a better place? I mean, that's all that we can control, right? So one thought that I wanted to share today is with you is about if you're behind the chair or in the industry serving, how can we level up? How can we show up as the best version of ourselves? You know, the beauty industry, and I say this all the time, success relies 20% on our technical skills and 80% on professional development skills. I have been focusing on researching and teaching marketing strategies to promote client attraction and retention, and I honestly believe it's a 50-50 of energy and effort from both the salon owner and employees to keep this momentum going. It costs 5 times more to acquire a new customer than it does to keep a current one. But, you know, in our marketing efforts, we always need to be attracting new clients while retaining existing clients. So I think to myself, okay, if I'm spending $1,000 a month to market and advertise to bring in new clients, and let's say it brings in 50 new clients, that means that each client cost about $20 each. And that's called a client acquisition. But the problem is that statistically of those 50 clients, only 15 of them come back based on our industry average. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, that sucks. That means we've lost about $700 in our marketing efforts. Like, what just happened here? Like, why do clients leave? and a first-time client, and only 30% of them are actually staying, I get it. Maybe it wasn't a good fit for that artist. Maybe that new client didn't connect with them, or it didn't like their style. This is personally why I love our new marketing partner, Maya. Hey friends, I just need to stop for a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor of the podcast, Maya. If you don't know by now, I am super passionate about marketing and business growth. I came across a company called Maya. Maya is a client recruitment and marketing software for the beauty industry. The amount of new clients that have booked appointments to my salon has increased by 20% since I joined. Maya used proprietary matching technology to ensure you get clients you love who spend more and stay longer. And guess what? My team recognizes when new clients book with them through Maya because they say it feels natural and it was easier to serve them, sell retail, and rebook the client. I am proof this platform will drive more of the right clients to your business. I want to invite you to join Maya and see how this incredible technology can help grow your business. Click on the link in the show notes and use my code JA2FREE. That's JA2FREE to receive 2 months free subscription when you join. Visit joinmaya.com today. But I think that, yes, there's definitely something to be said of making sure that that target market, that client, matches and fits your personality as a stylist. Like, I know it's just so much easier to work with a client where you can connect with them, relate to them, you've got similar styles, and then when you have somebody in your chair or on your table that you just don't connect with, you can't relate, it makes it so much more difficult and sometimes awkward as well. I understand that, right? And then why do clients leave? Okay, a very small percentage move away, or die. And fortunately, though, that's a really, really small percentage of your clients of why they leave or why you don't see them again. But the majority of lost business is poor customer service. So, in fact, 82% of customers in the US said that they stopped doing business with the company due to a poor customer experience. I 100% agree with that. I mean, have you ever gone to, let's say, a nail salon or a restaurant or a hotel, some car dealership, and you just had a poor customer service? One, you tell everyone about it that, oh, this place sucks. It was not good. You had a bad experience. You'll never do business with them. Why would you spend your hard-earned money on a place that did not serve you good? Our salon businesses lose 71% of customers due to poor customer service. This is bananas to me because, I believe it's the salon owner's responsibility to train their employees on what great customer service looks like for their culture, because each salon is different, right? Each salon has a different personality, a different culture. It's very unique. And I believe it's the salon owner's responsibility as well to create a beautiful, clean environment while creating an easy and consistent experience before and after a client's service. So, as a salon owner, it is my duty to really set up this client and the team for success of really making sure to spotlight what does it look like to do business with us? Do they need to prep anything before their visit or service? And after the service, follow up with them of asking them how their service went and really trying to get them to come back into our salon to spend more money. But what I'd like to share and list out today is the area where an artist has control and responsibility for the guest experience. So my job is, okay, I got to bring clients into my salon. Now it's the person, the artist, the employee to say, okay, now that this client is in my chair or on my table, what can I do to get them to continue to come back in and support me, and how can I serve them to the fullest? We need to have a consistent flow of new clients and existing clients in business. But if we're only thinking about, I just want more clients, I need new clients, we're missing on a great opportunity, and it is costing us time, money, and energy. So here is the areas that I believe artists need to be taking ownership of their business. And that's the reason why I call employees intrapreneurs, right? They're an entrepreneur within my business. And I think that if you're listening to this as a salon owner, you really need to change your mindset to think of your staff in this light, right? So let's break this down. So I broke this down into four areas that I really think that if you're a stylist, a lash artist, and you're working for someone, or maybe you are behind the chair still or whatnot, these are four different areas that you have 100% control of that is going to help increase your client retention, which that's the goal. If you have a new client in your chair, it is up to you to get that client to come back in if the salon owner is doing everything in their possibility as well to attract and retain. Okay, so how do you market yourself? I do believe that everyone needs to be marketing, and I know that it can be a little bit stressful because social media can be a lot. I get it. But, you know, many clients, they want to know before their visit, what is going to be their experience like with you? And so what's the first thing that they do? They stalk you on social media. So one of the things that I love to do is I spotlight my team. I think individually they are all different. They all have different unique strengths and skills and talent, and I really want to spotlight them. It's my job as a salon owner to really showcase them, put them on a platform that they can shine, and I can help them succeed. And if you're a salon owner, we need to make sure that you also view it this way as well. They want to see the services that you offer and if it fits their style. So they want to see what your style, your specialty is, what it is that it looks like. So for example, if a client has red hair and she's seeking who's the best artist for me to do red hair, and they look at your social media channel and you have nobody with red hair posted, most likely they're not going to want to book you. And it's probably a good thing too, because maybe red hair is not your thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. But showcase what you want to have in your chair, what you want on your table. You know, if you're a esthetician and you really want to specialize or work with people who have acne skin, showcase the before and after of the success of what it looks like to do monthly facials when you have problematic skin challenges. Or let's say you want to specialize with different growth options for customers. Showcase what does thin hair look like, or damaged hair, and what does the progress look like for them? Because clients are going to your social media saying, what is my experience going to look like? And can you handle me? Can you handle my problems? And they also want to see who's going to be taking care of me, right? Like, we definitely live in an era where we want to know who we are working with. And yes, I know it's judgment or stereotyping, but we all do it. We are going, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, if I wanted to hire a personal trainer, I am not going to hire somebody who does not look like the body type that I want. Your potential client is probably thinking the same. If you're not showing up with your hair done, your makeup done, or fashionable, looking good, chances are they might not want to have you be doing their services, because they're thinking, if that person looks like a hot mess, does that mean I'm going to look like a hot mess? And I know some of you may be disagreeing with me, and that is okay. This is just my opinion, but we are in the fashion and beauty industry. So if we are not on the forefront of what fashion and beauty looks like, then I feel like we are not only doing a disservice to the guests, but we are disrespecting our industry. And I just think that it looks sloppy, and I don't think that it equals success, right? So action to me equals success. But people want to know what your personality is, what you look like, and people want to do business with those that they feel like they would have a good time with. And so right now, what's currently trending on social media, specifically for Instagram, that's where I spend my most of my marketing time on, is creating time lapses with voiceovers or text. And you could do something as simple as sharing your favorite product. Maybe you're combing someone's hair. Maybe you're putting a facial cleanser on someone. And it's just you taking action. You don't have to necessarily say something live. It's just you working or doing something. You'll see me sharing this on my personal platform as well. You'll see it on our salon channel as well. And you guys, I am not worried about the metrics. I just want people in my salon spending money. That is my goal for social media. You could be sharing things like your favorite product, or maybe a new technique that you learned, or your favorite technique that creates seamless blending, or how to thicken hair. You know, you could post a selfie with you and your client, sharing it on stories and then tagging them. How many people do you think know your client, right? I bet a good handful. And this can create some great influence and an offstage referral is what I like to call it. And speaking about a referral, another thing that you could be doing behind the chair or in your treatment room is ask your longtime clients who love you and see you all the time, ask them, would you refer someone to me? Ask them specifically, do you have three friends? I would hope so, right? Do you know three people? Would you ask them to come and see me? Because I love doing your hair or doing your facials or your body waxing. And if they're anything like you, I would also like to see them too. I just want to multiply you and my chair, right? Think about your favorite client who they always purchase products. They always say nice things to you. They always show up, right? They're not the no-showers or the last-minute cancellation people. Like, these people have total respect and love you. These people should be the ones referring to business to you. But the problem is that you're not asking. And to me, I think this is your job. This is your job to ask for referrals. As a salon owner, yes, I do use marketing to send out email blasts or text campaigns about our referral program, right? Like, it's my job to create a program for that. But I do believe that it's the team's position to be asking for the referral. And just keep it simple. Why don't we just ask? We're so afraid of rejection, objection, someone saying no. Can you imagine? You ask your favorite client, would you refer your friends to me? And they straight out say, no. I highly doubt this would happen. And please send me an email or text me if this actually happened to you. I would be very curious to hear about that. But I highly doubt. I'm like 99.9% sure that will not happen to you. But if it does, you're like the 0.01 person to have that experience. So, and the next one, ask your clients to leave a review. So when you finish their service and they say, I love it, this is your chance to ask them if they would write you a review. We just have to ask them. I think about this particular circumstance as, you know, dating, right? If you went on an incredible date, right? They wined and dined you. They were romantic. They opened up doors. They paid for the bill. They said that you looked amazing. And at the end of the date, you say, I had a really great time. Imagine that person on the other side was like, okay, and then walked away, you'd be like, what happened here? Right? You would ask them, when can I call you again? Can we go out on another date? Right? This is the same example, situation that I imagine is like the reviews. When somebody says that they love it, that's when you ask them, write a review for me, please. Okay, and then the next one is collaboration. And I talk about this a lot in my marketing strategy class that I teach. And of course, if you are a salon owner or solo artist, you need to take this class. I will link the class in the show notes. Make sure to check this out because I dive in really deep of how you need to be implementing this into your salon so that it supports your team. This is why people would want to work for you and how you are attracting and retaining customers into your business. But as an artist, here's some ways that you could do some collaboration. Think about the clients that are in your chair that maybe they own a business or they're a part of some type of social group, like they do craft shows or book clubs, or I don't know what type of social groups they may be in, but you know what I mean. And maybe they could post a selfie of themselves while they're in your chair, right? Again, this is who else is following them or looking at their channels. Maybe you could ask them, hey, would you mind leaving some of my cards at your shop or this flyer or some type of special offer for your customers? Maybe they're throwing an event at their place and you could go to their event as well because there's going to be potential clients there and you could be building a relationship with them. You know, I think that it's really important to be networking and being social because, again, people want to do business with those who know, like, and trust them. So, you know, me and my husband, we go to certain restaurants or coffee shops. Or just clothing stores. We go to the same things. We're definitely creatures of habit. And when we meet the people who are there, we're always talking about where our businesses are located or what we do. And they come in and they spend money with us because they know who we are, right? This is my job as a salon owner, but this is a great way that you could also take initiative, take action to growing your business. Okay, the next one is guest experience. So this is where, you know, if 82% of customers are leaving our business due to poor customer experience, we got to really think about what are we doing that's not working, that we're losing them. You know, we need to keep things consistent and personalize things. You know, such as remembering their beverage. Do they always love black coffee? Or maybe we have a handful of clients that love rosé or red wine. So we always want to make sure to have that chilled ready for them to go when they come into the salon. Even something as so simple as calling them by name. You know, I love staying at the Ritz-Carlton. It is my place to go. If you want to know my favorite hotel, it is the Grand Lakes in Orlando, and the service is consistently impeccable. And I love when I go to this hotel when they say, Mrs. Alvarez, welcome back home. And it just feels so good to me that they know my name. And if you've been going to the same place over and over, you would hope that they know your name. If you're spending time and your money at that one place and you continue to go back, you would hope that they know who you are. We need to be calling clients by their name. And if you don't know their name, even using luxury language, which we do at our salon, is may have the pleasure of your first name. And trust me, I can't remember every single client that comes in, but I think that approaching it that way versus like, who are you here to see or what's your name? It doesn't sound as professional. It doesn't sound as welcoming and warm. And this is catering to the guest experience. So, what can you do differently to enhance that experience? Here's a portion of our service where we miss the mark, where we fail, and that is during our consultation. And look, friends, I understand when you have seen the same person over and over again, and trust me, yes, I am retired behind the chair, but I have seen the same clients consistently for maybe over 15 years. the same people, and maybe they wanted the same haircut every single time or the same color. Like maybe they are creatures of habit where it's like, this is me. I wear a one length bob to my chin and that is my style, right? They've been wearing the same style and they love it. It just feels good to them. They still deserve a consultation of what do you like? What do you not like? I mean, I always teach that there are 7 steps in a signature consultation in order for it to be effective and personalized and really enhancing that experience. And every single client deserves to have this, whether it's their first time or their 1,475th time with you. They need that. They deserve that respect. Making sure that you are thorough in your consultations every single time. You know, and yes, I get it that some clients will sit in the chair and say, the huge, or, wow, these are really a lot of questions that you're asking. Or maybe you are running behind or you feel like you're strapped on time and this is where we skimp, we fall short. And this is why people are leaving us. So we owe it to every single client to give them that signature consultation. Managing the expectation. I mean, how many times have we had clients who maybe they had, you know, a intense case of acne and they're like, I want to have it cleared up today. Okay, that's great. I love that for you, but that's not going to happen. How can we professionally manage that expectation for them? Or when clients come in with this edited photo of makeup and hair for their bridal or their colors from, you know, they step in with box color black hair and they want this dimensional high contrast blonde color. Like, okay, this may not happen safely today, but if we don't set that expectation during that consultation and they're going to be dissatisfied, they are not going to return and they might ask for a refund or a redo. And this is where we are falling short of that customer experience. So manage that expectation of what can we do today? What is going to be the results? Paint that picture for them of what it's going to look like. And it is our due diligence as well to be educating the client. Now, if this is an area where you're falling short, this is where we could do some more professional development and training. What does maintenance look like to this client? Such as, all right, if you are wanting to be a bleach and tone blonde, you're going to have to come back every 4 weeks. If you're a pixie haircut, you're going to have to come back every 4 weeks. Is this the customer lifestyle or budget, beauty budget, that is going to work for this? Because the last thing you need is a client who hasn't returned when they should have, and you either see them at the store or they tell their friends, oh yeah, I go to this salon and get my hair done, and they've got major outgrowth or it just looks really trashy. I don't even know what to say. Other people who hear, oh, you go to that salon, they're going to think, oh, I don't want to go there. That person does not look good, right? We need to be educating them on hair, home care. So one, when they should return, scheduling out their next 2 visits. I think that's key. Scheduling out the next 2 visits for them, right? This is going to help fill in that white space for you. It's going to also set up goals. You're building that relationship of like, what's next? What's going to happen next with us, right? And what should they be using at home and how they should be using it? We need to educate them verbatim of, you use this first. You're going to use the quarter size. This is how you use it. We need to have a cadence with our products in order for them to be using things diligently at home. That's going to be that success for them to keep up with their hair and skin and beauty in general. Okay, and the third one is your education. When was the last time that you took a class? When was the last time that you searched for something online about why these ingredients are important, or why does hair thin? Why do people get acne, right? So not that I'm promoting or have any affiliation with Behind the Chair, and maybe some of you don't like it. That's okay. But I will say they have a library of videos of techniques. They have lots of education for there, and I think it's extremely affordable, maybe like $10 a month or something. Sign up for a class. You know, ask your salon owner to schedule a class for you. You know, what is that ongoing training that the salon is providing for you? Is there any budget that they are supporting you on continuing education? Is there some type of education that you are looking to grow and better yourself that they could help support you in that area? I think that, you know, the salon should be offering education at least quarterly of whatever it is that you need to work on. Or maybe there's an area that, you know, like let's say your retail sucks and that you're not good at it. To me, that says you don't know the line. Because if you knew the line, it would be easy for you to talk about it. So maybe this is the indicator that you need product knowledge. And when you have product knowledge, then you can confidently speak about products to your customers. So really, really think about when was the last time you took a class, and never think that you know everything. Never think that you're better. Never think that you don't need any of that education. You know, even though I'm not doing hair, I still watch videos, I still read, and I want to know more about extensions, bridal makeup, bridal hair. You know, if I want to teach something to someone else, I need to be the best that I can be. So I understand, why would you use these ingredients? Why do you comb the hair this way? Why would you tease the hair this way when doing color? Why would you tease the hair this way when you're doing updos? I need to know the difference. And if I don't know those things, I need to continue my education. And it is our personal responsibility that we need to continue our education constantly. And one of my mentors always told me, education brings inspiration. And this is what that inspiration is, that motivation. It sparks your passion again, right? So if you're feeling right now the winter blues, I don't know where you're located, but it is snowy and gray and not the very best in the Midwest and the US. But this is a key time, especially when you're slow. I always think that this is where it's like, okay, God has given you this opportunity right now that you need to be doing something. You need to be taking action. And education is a perfect way that you can fill that space in your mind, your body, your soul with education. Okay, I'm getting a little heated and excited about these things because we have control to do this. We have the control, and it is our responsibility. All right, the number four. Tracking your success. We talk about this all the time, but what you measure grows. When was the last time you looked at the activities that you were doing to see what areas you're doing amazing at? Like, where are you killing it? Where are you just like, I am just constantly doing extra add-on treatments. I am just doing amazing in that area. Like, round of applause for you. That is awesome. That is your job. And that is great. It should be rewarded. But where are you falling short? Where do you need help? So there's four areas that I do recommend. If you are a service provider, there's four things that you need to be looking at. What is your rebooking percentage? What is your client count? What is your average ticket? And what is your retail? All of these four areas is a key metric that you need to be measuring. And it all starts with you implementing this into your service. It is not going to happen by chance. So we need to be talking about this. We need to be asking. We need to be recommending. This is how you build and grow a consistent, sustainable, successful business. Every week, I recommend reflecting on why it was a successful week or why it was not. Maybe your head wasn't in the right space. Maybe you just, you know, it's stressful right now, right? Maybe you just simply forgot. I get it. There's so many things to remember. But when we can create a consistent routine of best practices, I guarantee the results will be there. And if you work at a salon, ask your leaders to help you if they're not already helping you. Your success is their success. right? It's a 50-50 in this arena. So what I see is that everyone wants success, but not enough of us are taking any action or placing energy on the right things. Success doesn't just happen. Beggars can't be choosers here. It takes strategic work towards your goals and vision of what you define as success. There can be no egos or comfort zones when you are on the path to success. And confidence, everybody wants to be confident, right? It's a result from taking action. And taking action is going to help you get success. So the next time you see white space on your books, or you're scrolling on Instagram feeling stressed because your business or your life isn't where you want it to be, let's take a hard look in the mirror and ask yourself what it is that you want in your business and life, and be honest with yourself. Are you taking the right action steps to achieve that? I hope that you enjoyed this episode and have been able to receive a message that will help you grow and build your business. My goal is to help you transform your business and self to create a career that supports your life. If you like this episode, I would love it if you would leave a rating and review, share it on Instagram with all your beauty besties. I am honored to be a part of your beauty business, and I hope that this has been your dose of a game changer.